live at the Boulder Theater on Saturday, March 17th for St. Patrick's Day with Caribou Mountain Collective. This event is 21 and up. Tickets and information can be found at bouldertheater.com.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. My name is Sharif Alim, and this is the Thursday edition of Metro. And I sure do have a great show for you today. I'm going to be talking to Charlene from the Colorado International Cannabis and Hemp Festival. And actually, it's Musicians for Freedom. And I'm so glad to have her in studio today. How you doing, Charlene?
I'm really good. How are you doing, Sharif?
Right on, man. And just to let the people know, man, you are you produce television programs over at DOM. And I think they're hemp-related or activist-related. What do you do over at DOM?
Well, you know, I just started a membership over at Denver Open Media at 700 Calamass. Mm-hmm. So I guess you share a building here with these folks.
Yes, yes.
How long has KGNU been around here?
I think since 2000, in this particular building, for 10 years, 2008.
Okay, cool.
It might have been the end of 2007, but right in this very room, me and Joel Edelstein produced the first Metro to ever come out of the Denver studio. And it was crazy because the ISDN line went down like 15 minutes into the show. But that was my first show in the studio. Before that, it was all up in Boulder.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think about maybe 6 months or so, I got a membership at Denver Open Media.
And if you don't know about Denver Open Media, they are a great organization that produces independent television and radio, not only for the Metro Denver area, but in several other states as well. And I think the membership to get in there is relatively small. I think it's still under $100, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they have a couple different types, you know.
Yeah, but just to get your foot in the door, it's like less than $100. I mean, they have some other memberships that go up in price depending on the access that you get to the facility over there. But it's a great facility over there. So, man, tell us about this. Actually, first of all, you have so many titles and organizations that you rep. Tell me about Musicians for Freedom.
So, musiciansforfreedom.com. I started around 2008 in Denver, and it's really just kind of a rambling, you know, WordPress project, and has evolved over time, mostly activist musicians and filmmakers, and you know, that type of folks.
Yeah. Right on, right on. And so tell me about your involvement with the Colorado International Cannabis and Film Festival that's coming up, what, next month?
Yeah, April 19th, right before 420. And so it's got April 19th, 2018, from 5 to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And that will be for sure the awards ceremony. So that's essentially where we'll watch the best films.
And that's going to be right here.
That's going to be at Denver Open Media, 700 Calamath.
Mm-hmm. Right on. And what are some of the films that are going to be featured in this?
Well, this is the first year that we've started the Colorado International Cannabis and Hemp Film Festival. And, you know, I did the Colorado International Activism Film Festival in July at the Bug Theater. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first foray into the film festival world. I completed a couple years in film and TV over at the College of Arts and Media at the University of Colorado at Denver recently. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, gee, you know, how am I going to continue my, you know, filmmaking, you know, endeavors, right? And I thought, well, a film festival sounds like a great idea. So I went ahead and started the Activism Film Festival at the Bug Theater. And so we got a bunch of films at filmfreeway.com. for the Activism Film Festival. And that went so well that I thought maybe we'll just have the Cannabis and Hemp Film Festival too, you know, and add that into the mix. So in April, we're planning the Cannabis and Hemp Film Festival. And then in July, we'll have the second Activism Film Festival. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you have another film coming up as well, right?
Another festival?
Another festival.
Another festival, yeah. I've also got in November, we're planning the Colorado International Flat Earth Film Festival.
I mean, I want to go to the hemp one for sure.
For sure.
And then I want to go to this Flat Earth Film Festival. You know, and before the show, we're kind of joking around a little bit, but... I'm just interested. I mean, I try to listen to people on YouTube when they talk about it, and then it just sounds like kind of ridiculous to me, and I just turn it off. But, you know, I went around the world in the airplane, right?
Right.
So I know when I started off here in Denver and ended up over in the Middle East someplace, you know I had to take some form of... If the earth is flat, how come, you know, I can fly from Denver to the Middle East, from the Middle East to China, get to China and fly from China to California and from California back to Denver? That would lead me to believe that the earth was round. But, you know.
Yeah, not really. I mean, you know, because like, you know, if you got, you know, and this is a whole big topic. And I personally consider myself a shape agnostic.
Okay, what does that mean?
Meaning that I'm pretty new to the whole flat earth idea as well. And, you know, I went to a meetup in Aurora about maybe 6 months ago. And started meeting some of these folks that are meeting around here and talking about the flat earth. And I'd already done the Activism Film Festival, and I was already planning the Cannabis and Hemp Film Festival. So then I was like, well, you guys, I'm going to get a film festival for y'all too, you know? Oh, somebody's phone. So anyway, so that was kind of the plan then, is to coincide with Robbie Davidson's international conference. He's going to have a second Flat Earth conference in November in Denver. So I went ahead and just scheduled the film festival for Denver for November. And then that way it'll coincide, you know, with when those folks are coming to Denver for the conference, for Robbie Davidson's Celebrate Truth conference.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. So, like, how did you get into activism? I mean, is this recent for you, or, you know, did you come up, you know, in an activist family? Did you go to college and become radicalized? How did you become an activist?
Well, you know, that's a really great question, Sharif. I actually had a background in like physics and math and college, and, you know, I went to work for the defense reconnaissance. Top secret stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, so I did that. I went to, you know, like Outback Australia, and I was working for Raytheon and Northrop Grumman and those kind of defense contractors. And that didn't last too long, maybe just a couple of years, around 2000, you know, 98 to 2001, somewhere in there. So then I kind of took off and decided to take just a little bit of time for myself, did some river rafting, you know, just exploratory stuff, you know, see the world. And I think it was around 2008 in Denver is when I went to see Richard Gage's Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth Conference. And I met a bunch of We Are Change Colorado people.
I was at that event.
Were you really?
Yeah, I had Richard on my show, and I was at that event. Yeah.
Awesome. Small world.
Years ago. Yeah, he came to KGNU, and this is when I was up in Boulder. But, yeah, I had him as a guest on the show, and, you know, we were talking the whole 9/11 and all of that kind of stuff that people were kind of forgot about. Or if you talk about it nowadays, people think that you're a conspiracy theorist.
Well, you are. We
like
are.
That. Yeah, but I don't
it's
like...
It's not a crime.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, I don't like that terminology. I would say a conspiracy fact finder. I would.
No theory about it, huh?
Yeah, because there's certain facts out there that cannot be disputed. Now, it's up to you to make your own theory about it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
He was here. Yeah. That's awesome with y'all. Yeah, so that was, to answer your question, that was really the first time I got involved with activism. And so before that, I was pretty well, I was embedded in the system. In the Matrix.
Especially
the Matrix had me.
Especially working for Raytheon and all of these.
I was in Dallas, Texas. And
wow.
Raising a couple of my daughters, and and just, working every day, and then I left because I just didn't really like the whole badging in and the whole security feel of it all, the polygraphs. And I started working for the internet startups, private industry.
Right.
But then when I met those We Are Change boys and Richard Gage, and I looked at World Trade Center 7 and how that falls at near free fall speed
without
right?
a plane hit it.
Yeah, World Trade Center 7 is the clincher. I mean, I can't see how anybody can look at that and go, there's something going on,
Yeah, but what's so bad about it? It's like, the people that orchestrated that or did that, they're retired, so to speak, now. They're out of office, And when the truth finally comes out about it, they'll probably be deceased. And then we'll get more information about it. But, I always applaud the truth tellers, man, the people that were out there from Jump Street that were saying, hey, this is a fraud, this is a fake. The day it happened, that's exactly what I said. And I've maintained that position this long because I woke up that morning. My wife woke me up and said, a plane hit the World Trade Center. And I was like, oh, my God, this is the beginning of the end. I was like, this is the stuff, because I had been looking at so-called conspiracy theory videos like since the 80s and 90s. I was looking at people like
JFK.
not so much JFK, man. I wasn't really into that. But, I was just checking out a lot of different teachers out there like Steve Coakley and Dick Gregory, and these are some like the so-called black conspiracy.
Malcolm X.
Not Malcolm. He wasn't conspiracy. Like Malcolm wasn't a conspiracy theorist, but like people like Dick Gregory, Steve Coakley, Anthony Hilger, like some of the white guys that do it. So to speak, I would watch a lot of different people out there, and they would talk about the Illuminati, and they would talk about
the banksters,
the banksters, the money, where the money come from. But they would all talk about this, like, this event that will happen that would take away every American civil liberties. And they was talking about that like in the 80s and 90s when I, first came into the knowledge and start studying geopolitical schemes and so on and so forth, and reading the newspaper and becoming politically aware. People were talking this Illuminati talk, and now it's like a household name, and they done made a big circus out of it. But back when people really didn't know how to even pronounce Illuminati, I was studying it, and when 9/11 happened, call me what you want to, when it happened, and I was like, it is no way in the world that somebody hijacked four planes and hit 3 out of 4 targets in the United States of America without the military intercepting at least 1 or 2 of them. Come on.
Well, the whole stand down thing, obviously.
Were having a drill that day, so they were confused that day.
Going the same way ever since. It's right. Always a drill, and even this latest Florida shooting, it's the drills.
Wait a minute, we cannot go there. No, something? We can't go there because I'm not, a friend of mine got shot at the Aurora Theater. I know he got shot. I didn't see the bullet hole. Okay, so he wasn't a crisis actor. He wasn't nothing like that. But I don't know all of the circumstances. And you're right. A lot of this stuff, you know, is usually on days that they have drills and they're doing this and they're doing that. But regardless of whether it was whatever, however it went down, I feel for the people that lost loved ones in that situation. And it's a trip because I'm looking at our government saying, why won't, like, I already know, like, I follow the Black Panther Party. And in the 1960s, when the Panther Party picked up weapons and said, we're going to patrol our neighborhood and keep our neighborhood safe, a well-armed militia, you know, they went to the state capitol in California, and they were arrested, put in jail, and then the next day they passed a law talking about people couldn't carry weapons, and the NRA supported that. But now, lo and behold, you know, we having tragedy after tragedy where, like, well, I'm not talking about Black Panthers going into a state capitol and scaring white people. I'm talking about people that actually go out and take a weapon and shoot down children in school. Like, they could pass the legislation for the Black Panthers, but they won't pass it for these young, mostly white young men, terrorists, domestic terrorists that are doing this on a weekly or monthly basis, you know, in this country. So, you know, it's like the NRA is so entrenched into the politics and everywhere and state legislators and all of this kind of stuff that it's going to be very hard to get people. And nobody's telling people to give up their guns. Nobody's telling people to do that. They saying give up these guns that, you know, can cause mass murder in a few seconds. What does a person need an assault rifle for? They don't need it other than to kill a whole bunch of people. You're not going to go into the forest and shoot a deer 40 times. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think, you know, the founders, I think the whole idea was that we would have the same, you know, firepower as the government, so to speak. That's all. You know what I mean? Well, it's a big topic, you know. And as a matter of fact, if you're interested, the Colorado International Activism Film Festival in July is looking for films mm-hmm. and music videos. Okay. And if you'd like, you know, we'd love to have your submissions.
See, we got too political, and I stopped talking about the film festival.
Well, so the whole idea is that everybody has different opinions, you know what I'm saying?
Right, and you're giving them the people an outlet to express their opinions through the film festival.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And so currently for the Cannabis and Hemp Film Festival, we've got, you know, like over 30 submissions, you know. And and the Activism Film Festival just started in February, and so we're getting a bunch of submissions, you know. And a few for the Flat Earth Film Festival too already. and so it's keeping me busy, you know, it's keeping me busy. I feel like I'm trying to obtain full spectrum dominance, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just about there, right?
Because, need you to, you know, film festivals is kind of like my passion too.
Cool.
Because starting back in 2003 all the way up until about 2010 or 11, I was a part of a film festival in Gregory, South Dakota called the Oscar Michaud Film Festival. And Oscar Michaud was an African-American film maker, a colored filmmaker that lived...
A brother.
Yeah, and his first film was called Within Our Gates, and it was a response to... Birth of a Nation that had came out a few years before that. And his response was to make a movie about how the Klan really treated Black people, and they weren't heroes of the South and all of that kind of stuff. But of course, his movies was like, he could only show them to Black people in churches and Elks clubs and so on and so forth. But he was the first Black filmmaker in this country, and every year they used to have this film festival in Gregory, South Dakota. And we, you know, some of us from Denver would go up there and, you know, take part of it. Eventually, the film festival went out of existence. But I've been talking to some of the people about it and trying to resurrect it here in Denver, man. And it's like a blessing that I ran into you, man, because something you could help with, or it could be included and some of the films mm-hmm. that you do, because Oscar Michaud was really an activist filmmaker.
Got it.
And what he used to make, they used to call them race films, racist films, but race films. That was what they called black anything back in the early 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the 50s, they called it race records, was really rock and roll music.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, they wouldn't play the race record. But
before
they would play
Motown. That was the
before Motown.
Yeah, yep.
In the 50s, they would call them race records. So he made race movies. And it was usually to counter the narrative that America was putting out at the time in film, which had black people portrayed as buffoons and eating watermelon and chasing chickens around and being mammies and so on and so forth. So he made movies to counteract those stereotypes.
Okay. And that's why we today have Will Smith.
I think in his day, man, you got people like Paul Robeson. Paul Robeson, yes. Well, see, yesterday was Black History Month, so I don't expect white folks to know this stuff March 1st, but Paul Robeson, man, he was an early African-American actor, football. Uh-huh. He played in college football. He was a football star. He was a great actor, great singer. And in the 1940s and 50s, he got labeled as a communist, and they took his passport from him and they blacklisted and blackballed him. But he was making films in the early 20s and early 30s, you know, around the time that Oscar Michaud was making movies. And it was another brother named Clarence Williams that was making movies back then.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to go to this film festival and I would meet all kind of different people. I would meet like doctors and professors and film critics and, you know, even few stars used to come.
You mean they weren't eating watermelon? So you actually met a lot of bright people.
Oh, we.
You know. you know, going up against the stereotype.
Wait,
you know,
no watermelon jokes on my show, please.
You brought it up.
No, well, I'm just saying how the movies used to be.
I know, yeah.
So. And no, they weren't eating watermelon. This is one of the craziest interviews I've ever done. And it's being filmed right now. What's up, Pablo?
What's up?
Is this entertaining for you?
I'm just doing my job.
I hear you. And this is going to be on DOM.
He's a film student, I think, Pablo.
Yeah.
Right on. But, you know, film is important, man. And I'm like really, like I said, I'm glad that you're doing film. I encourage and support everybody to do film festivals because, you know, I just feel like the media is basically owned by five different people and you only get their perspectives.
It's true. Yeah. Well, you know, you're welcome to help out in any way you'd like. And if you want to, you know, just
I'm helping out right now by giving you airtime.
Thank you. Yeah, invite all your friends, you know, and we're also looking for judges. And so it'd be great to have you as a judge if you're interested in taking a look at the films, too.
I might do that.
Yeah, so it's pretty, you know, complicated in that regard that we have the various, you know, like when
But you're
going to
be giving out prizes and stuff for winners. Talk
about
awards, that.
Awards. Yeah, so the three that we gave out for the Activism Film Festival were Best Cinematography. And that went to Travis Luther, and he's a Denver guy who does, like, weddings and stuff, and he graduated, I think, with a master's from UCD. And his is called A Hero in All of Us. And so we gave him a Best Cinematography, and then a woman by the name of Christine Chen, she took home the Best Acting for Y'albi. And it was kind of a look at, you know, people who come from, let's say, Iran or some other countries and the challenges that they face, you know, from an immigration standpoint.
Right.
You know, and that got a Best Acting Award. And then the Best in Show Award went to a film by John Suhrenkamp. And that film was called Where's Larry? And Where's Larry is kind of a look at veganism. And
Veganism.
And so Larry is a lobster, and the main character is a chef. So the dad is a chef, and he's going to prepare the lobster for dinner for some guests that he's having. But his daughter develops a relationship. She's about five, you know, with the lobster, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really, really cute. So that one got the Best in Show. And so so for these film festivals, we've added a couple. Yeah, so we're going to have maybe, you know, best titles, animations, you know, a couple other
like
awards.
What are the durations of most of these films? Like, are they short films, uh-huh. medium?
Well, actually, we have free music videos. And so that's something you might want to start, you know, putting out to your folks, too, if you have musicians listening, you know, and activist musicians.
Is this basically dealing with, like cannabis videos?
Correct, or? Correct. Okay. So for the Cannabis and Hemp Film Festival in April, okay, it would be cannabis and hemp themed, you know.
Right.
Right. So, and the music videos are free. And then we also have shorts, and they can be fictional, documentary, narrative, you know, really a broad. And if you go to filmfreeway.com, then you can get a little bit more information. You just go to filmfreeway.com, and you click on Browse Festivals. And then when you type in cannabis, okay, it should bring it up, okay? It's like the second from the top, and it'll say Colorado International Cannabis and Hemp
Film Festival. To be fair, you had to, like, guide me through that, like, two or three times before I got to
it. Oh, you did it fine. You're good on the internet.
You had to guide me on that.
Yeah. So the same thing is true then for the Activism Film Festival. You just go there to filmfreeway.com, okay, and so type in activism.
How do you submit the music videos?
Well, it's pretty much a similar process to submit any media. And so you're going to go to Film Freeway, and you know, you're going to start a project. Kind of like a Denver Open Media, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Everything is online, okay? And so you're going to, like, just upload, you know, your, let's say you have a two-minute music video. And, of course, the free music videos have to be under 5 minutes, and they have to be appropriate to the theme. And, yeah.
Any other restrictions?
Well, it can't be a short film. Man, ever since I started the free music videos, you know what I'm saying, we're getting, like, these submissions that are short films. They're not music track centric, okay? So a music video would be music track centric. So, you know, the music is like a real song. It's a one song from start to finish.
Yeah, so you don't want like a movie scene with just music in the back.
Right.
Exactly.
So people are, they try to slip in because it's a free category, if you know what I'm saying. Okay, and I'm having to reject those, and so those won't fly. So, but if you have a real, you know, music video that is a song, you know what I'm saying, like something Immortal Technique would sing, you know, and it's about 9/11.
Hold up, you know about Immortal Technique?
I think he's one of our Musicians for Freedom featured musicians.
Oh, okay,
maybe, you
yeah,
know.
That's my dude. I love his music.
Great, a couple of people like that, you know, Payday Monsanto, some of the, you know, people that are out there
right.
in the conspiracy world in music, you know. But, yeah, that kind of thing. So they have a song that's a regular song with lyrics or music or whatever, you know, a single
And see,
track.
This is a good opportunity for a lot of, because we have a lot of artists that listen to KGNU and
yep.
people that, you know, that we play on KGNU. And this would be a great opportunity to get some of your music out there. So you should go to, tell them that.
Go to filmfreeway.com and then locate our film festival, Colorado International Cannabis and Hemp Film Festival. All right? And
right.
then there's two more coming up. In July, there's the Colorado International Activism Film Festival. And then in November, the Colorado International Flat Earth Film Festival.
And they can learn all of this on what website again?
InfinitePerimeter.com.
Right on. And so lastly, man, we got like a minute left. The stuff that you're producing for DOM, when is that going to be aired, or do you have a slot ready for that yet?
Well, currently for DOM, I only have a last year's promo. And so that's, you know, airing every now and then. So I have the Colorado International Activism Film Festival. It's a promo from 2017. And that's the only content I personally have up at DOM. But eventually we can put films and submissions online. And so we're looking forward to seeing everybody on April 19th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Denver Open Media for the Cannabis and Hemp Film Festival.
Right on. Thank you for coming in, Charlene. This is a great interview. It was kind of crazy. But I'm going to have you back on the show, so we're going to have to talk some of these conspiracy theories and have a debate.
Try not to fall off the flat earth in the meantime. Huh?
Yeah. Well, if you do go to the flat earth, you know, take a selfie of you falling over, then I believe it.
Yeah, and but submit it to the film festival.
Right. And until next week, peace.
This program is made possible by you, the KGNU listener member, and by Attention Homes, Boulder County's only shelter for youth experiencing homelessness. More information at attentionhomes.org.
You're listening to KGNU 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, Boulder, Denver, 98.7 FM in Fort Collins, 93.7 FM in Nederland, Colorado, and online at kgnu.org and afterfm.com. Up next is .org.
Welcome to .org, KGNU's look at local nonprofits.
Centaurus High School in Lafayette has a booster club that supplies extra funds for needed school equipment. Director of Communication, Ken Gambin.
It was formed in 2016 with the help of our athletic director at Centaurus and a group of parents that wanted to get involved. The goal of the Booster Club is really to support the athletics and the activities programs at Centaurus and try and get community support and really try to centralize some of the fundraising, the individual programs' reliance on individual fundraisers, you know, the popcorn sales and the magazine sales and those sorts of things. We wanted to try and help prevent them from having to do that kind of thing by being sort of a clearinghouse for fundraising. We do all the sports programs at Centaurus, plus the theater department and a couple other non-athletic programs.
And do you mainly rely on the parents for volunteers?
Mostly parents. There is some faculty involvement from program ownership and coaches and things like that. You know, primarily parent community driven.
And how do you go about deciding which programs get the money?
Through our fundraising, we actually then disperse it to these programs in the form of grants. So we have a grant cycle three times a year. We've allocated over $33,000 in grants to these programs to kind of help supplement what the school district normally funds. And we try to balance out needs versus available funds and try and be a little bit equitable in terms of dispersing the funds. So we've done things like donated funds for the baseball team's field maintenance equipment. We've done uniforms for the soccer teams and the cheerleaders. We've gotten range finders for the golf team. We even got poles for the pole vault team because the pole vault team only had one pole, didn't have enough poles to practice.
So let's get to your event. Is this an annual fundraiser that you're doing?
It is. It's an annual fundraiser. It's our third annual one. We call it the Warrior Gala. It is Saturday, March 3rd from 6 to 10 p.m. at the YMCA in Lafayette. And it's an adult-only affair, mainly because there's beer and wine served, as well as dinner with catering by Spice of Life. So we like to support the local businesses. There's going to be dinner and dancing. There's silent and live auctions. So we'll have some small gift basket items filled with things that we've been able to solicit donations from the local, you know, Lafayette-Louisville Erie community. And we've got some big auction items. We have some families that own condominiums in Keystone, Winter Park, some of the ski areas, and they've offered a week stay at these places. We've even got a lawyer that's offering estate planning services as a package, and then somebody has a timeshare and they've donated a week at their timeshare resort. Somebody came up with the idea of doing a tailgate party at a local Centaurus football game on a Friday night. Last year, a family bought a tailgate party for $20. They had a couple of kids at Centaurus, so they invited all their friends and a couple of families, had it catered, roped off a spot in the parking lot. We've got a website. They have the ability to purchase tickets online. We're also on Facebook. If you search under Centaurus Warriors Booster Club, you can see some of the things that the Booster Club is up to and how we try to promote programs at the school. It's been great to get the community support and be able to help us out with these fundraising items because we end up being able to raise quite a bit of money, and it all goes back to the programs to help the kids.
And for further information, you may go to their website, centaurusbooster.org. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
For their link and another listen, go to our blog at kgnu.org/dot.org.
Thanks for listening to KGNU. Up next is TUC Radio.
TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Michael Parenti, Super Patriotism,